Pastor Michael, we've been in a season on questions related to the spiritual realm. Mm. And today's question is, are there specific behaviors that leave me vulnerable to demonic attack?
In the words of a friend, don't do dumb things. But what are the dumb things? A great question. All right. So years ago, I preached a message on this very question. And I went through scripture and just studied, like, what are the things where scriptures explicitly say, if you do this, then you are making yourself uniquely vulnerable. And seven things stuck out. So let's go through these seven things. I'll say what it is. And there's a scripture for each one of these. So you read the scripture and I'll say what they are.
Sounds good.
Number one, one of the things that you can do that will lead, make you vulnerable to demonic attack is becoming an elder and being young in the faith at the same time. All right. 1 Timothy 3:6.
He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil.
Yeah, this is talking about the qualifications of elders. So when you're looking at somebody, you do not want to have somebody who's a young believer. Young believers who get spiritual authority become arrogant. And so you want to deal, like, you want to make yourself vulnerable. Arrogance will do it. And one of the reasons, by the way, that this makes you particularly vulnerable is because if you strike the shepherd, then the sheep scatter. That's a biblical principle. So you do know that by becoming an elder makes you vulnerable, but that's just becoming an elder. That's just being a Christian, whatever. But the actual behavior would be, if I am an elder, okay, putting in somebody to be an elder that is spiritually young. That is not a wise decision. I am subjecting them to vulnerable attack, and I'm subjecting them to demonic attack, and myself and my team as well.
Yeah.
And so that's number one.
Yep.
Number two, becoming an elder, but having a bad reputation in the world. So the next verse, 1 Timothy 3:7.
Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil.
Yeah, this is interesting. So when we bring on elders, we have references from non-Christians in their life. And what we really want to make sure of is that they are a man of integrity, not just in their home, not just in the church, but also as they interact in the world. It's striking because here's what it says. If you're an elder and you're basically, let's summarize this, a turd to the to non-Christians, it says that there is a snare. It's a trap that the devil has laid for you, and that this will come back to bite you. And so if you want to be if an elder, don't be surprised if all of a sudden there are a bunch of people to you that are not Christians, maybe at your work, maybe in your neighborhood, that are mean to you. It's very interesting. Right after I became an elder, I had two of the meanest neighbors I could have ever imagined. They tempted me to sin. Even just saying their names fills me with, like, a level of, like, anger, because they were so unbelievably mean. And my sheer existence was like, just like, like, my wife, me, my dogs, my kids, like, it was just, it was off the chains.
Interesting.
And so I step back and I think to myself, like, I had an opportunity to tarnish the name of Jesus by how I treated them. So that was huge. Number three, refusing to forgive, 2 Corinthians 2:10-11.
Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs.
Okay, this is great. So there's a design. This is the way the text is laid out. It's a design created by Satan, and here's how you know you've fallen into it. You don't forgive those who ask. It's that simple.
Yep.
So I've been in situations where I've asked forgiveness from someone, and they've looked at me and said, no. Okay. You, my friend, just fell into a demonic dark trap. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where you're like, all right, I don't want to be ignorant of his designs. I love the word design. Okay. He actually has, like, a blueprint for how to trip up Christians.
Yep.
Okay. Don't forgive the person who hurt you and harmed you when they ask. That's wow. So if you want to be vulnerable, harbor bitterness in your heart to somebody, doubly so if they ask you for forgiveness, and you're like, no, I'm not going to give it to you. That's weird. The next one actually comes from the same tactic, and it's very simple: to be ignorant of demonic attacks, will make you vulnerable. So here's one design, one attack that is not forgiving people, encouraging you in the, you know, somehow like hold that on, hold that bitterness, hold that anger, retell that story, play it again and again. But it's not the only scheme.
Yeah.
It's not the only design.
Yeah.
And so there are multiple designs, but if you're not aware of the designs, what's going to happen? You're going to
vulnerable.
Yeah. So you need to familiarize yourself with the designs of Satan. And that's one of the reasons why we talk about spiritual war and spiritual realm and satanic designs. We had a whole series for 8 weeks called Traps, right?
Yep.
Because we want our body to be familiar with the traps, the designs, the schemes. That's simple. All right, number five, going to bed angry. It's a funny one, but it's so practical, right?
Yeah. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil.
Yeah. So, okay, let's dispel one huge bad application here. This does not mean that you and your wife need to work out everything before you go to bed. It does not say that. There are some things that are too big to work out in a night.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need sleep.
Yep.
It does not say, it says be angry. You can be angry. Okay. But don't sin. So when you are angry though, okay, here's how sin works. You are going to bed and you're still harboring the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the irony about anger. If I'm upset with you, I don't need to have a conversation with you to release the anger. I can go before the Lord and say, I'm really struggling with this. You take the anger. Okay. I'm going to give this to you. I'll deal with this in the right way.
Yeah.
I forget where in the Bible it says it, but it is to someone's glory to overlook an offense. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Proverbs. Sometimes someone makes me angry. Sometimes my wife makes me angry. I can't believe it, but sometimes she makes me angry. Sometimes I make her angry and we never talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I can look at that and be like, she's had a hard day. I'll overlook it.
Yep.
If it keeps happening, then we'll talk about it. But here's the whole point. I'm not going to bed gnashing my teeth.
Yeah.
Gnashing your teeth is, it's funny. People think it's like a crying out, you know, it's actually like it's a statement of rage. How could you? I hate you. You know what I mean? It's like this idea, you're gritting teeth.
Yep.
I don't need to go to bed gnashing my teeth. I can go to bed and do some work with the Lord.
Mm.
And sometimes if you can deal with it with your spouse right away, if it's manageable, do it, you know, go for it. But all right, number six, withholding intimacy from your spouse.
1 Corinthians 7:5 says, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
I love this. It's funny. I love this. Don't deprive one another, except maybe by agreement. You guys have to agree on this, right? I mean, like the amount of like,
there's a lot of qualifiers.
Yeah. He's like, don't do it. All right, there's an exception. Okay, but you're
for a limited time.
For a limited time only, right? It is actually pretty funny. But at the end, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
Mm.
And God knows how the human body's made. Sexuality, especially when, like, it's interesting, like, what happens in the prefrontal cortex of a dude when he's aroused, it shuts down. And so, like, that's your logic and your, like, ability to plan and think clearly and whatnot. And so, like, when there is a sexual frustration, people do dumb things, you know? And he's like, just don't put each other in position to do dumb things.
Yeah.
Like, just that simple.
Yeah.
And so when you're married to somebody, you're committing to not have sex once, but to have sex continually and regularly to reenact the covenant and to protect one another.
Mm.
And to not do that is dumb. It's just, it's Paul saying it. It's dumb. You're just leaving each other vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. All right. Number seven, very simple. Last one, false ideas.
2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete.
Perfect. So if you are going to allow cultural mantras to trump the word of God in your brain, then you are leaving yourself vulnerable to spiritual attack.
Mm-hmm.
I do not need a biblical principle to make sense for me to believe it, because what I do know is that cultural mantras will destroy me and leave me vulnerable to demonic attack, period. So I want to protect my mind and to protect myself from spiritual attack by filling my mind with truth and the word of God. And so we'll just kind of summarize these. If you want to mitigate demonic attack, well, first of all, don't be an elder in your church and be a brand new Christian. Second of all, don't be an elder in your church and then have a treat non-Christians like junk.
Yep.
Definitely forgive people quickly and immediately. Know demonic tactics, study them.
Yep.
Don't go to bed gnashing your teeth. Like, give it to the Lord or deal with it in one way or another. Don't withhold intimacy from your spouse. And for the love of God, stop buying into cultural mantras. You know what I mean? They'll destroy you in the end.
Yep.
So if you want to protect yourself, like, those are the seven explicit ways scripture says, if you don't do these things, you're leaving yourself open and vulnerable.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, I mean, there's a lot of demonic tactics and we need to be aware of them. Yeah. So that's like, just comes with experience in the world, with wisdom, with learning from other people that are godly, and also being in God's word to see like, what exactly does God's word say, like the devil is trying to do. So I love that these are just so explicit in scripture and we can point to them. Like, these are a lot of the ways and the tactics, but there's also like, you take it beyond those specific ones and like, you just have to be always on guard, always discerning, always using scripture and your understanding of the world and common sense to actually be able to do battle with these spiritual attacks.
Yeah. In I think it was January, February, 2024, we did an 8-week series called Traps. And it was all the different designs, schemes, tactics, and traps that the scriptures teach that Christians could fall prey to. And if anyone wants to go deeper, they can go check those out. I found it just to be really personally helpful to give vocabulary to what the scriptures teach the evil one does. And I found it to be actually one of the most enjoyable messages to preach.
It was a great series. So I would recommend to all the listeners.
Stop. Watch it.
I know. Thank you for that training. And we really appreciate that.